Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What did Jesus mean by that? And how does it relate to our gathering around this table? Eric Kobel helped bring this beatitude into focus for me by looking at the lives of two people. One of them employed by one of the most prestigious agencies in New York, having to deal with stocks. He's a broker, and he was convicted of acting on insider information, using information that would cause stock to rise and fall dramatically, and acting on that. His name was Dennis Levine. He was 35 years old. He was convicted, stripped of his broker's license, and sentenced to 2 years in prison. When he left prison, a savvy reporter was there to interview him as he came out and said, "What would possess a man at your age who is making $350,000 a year already to break the rules, to risk the ruin of your career? Why would you take that risk?" And the young man answered him, "I'll tell you why. I wanted to get at the real money. I wanted to get at the real money. The real money was what this young man hungered and thirsted for. The real money governed his life. The real money ordered his priorities and made him take extraordinary risks. He hungered and thirsted for the real money. And it cost him his career and his reputation." Contrast that with the life of a woman known as Maria Stobskova, better known in the Eastern Orthodox Church as Saint Mother Maria. Now, the truth is, Saint Mother Maria grew up anything but a saint. She was born to a very aristocratic Russian family. Before the Russian Revolution, she knew real money. She became an atheist as a teenager, married young, and after her marriage failed, she became a Roman Catholic. But as she studied the gospel, and as she focused upon the fact that God's representative suffered for her, was beaten for her, crucified for her, that thought so ordered her mind, so governed her thoughts, that she converted to the Eastern Orthodox faith. She was a poet, she was an artist, and she lived an extraordinary life. She was put on trial for her life in Russia by the anti-communists right before the revolution, and she was exonerated by a judge who then fell in love with her and married her. They fled Russia during the revolution and lived in Paris, where their marriage unraveled. And the bishop, the Eastern Orthodox bishop in Paris, suggested that she become a nun. She agreed to do so on one provision, that she not be forced to live in a convent. She took what money she had, she bought a little house in the center of Paris, and there she opened her heart and her doors to do ministry. Anyone who was destitute, anyone who was in need, found their way to her doors. As the Nazis began to invade Germany, Jews found her way, and she began to befriend them and to help them escape Nazi regime. Her little house became her convent from which she ministered to the world. Mother Maria's efforts did not go unnoticed by the Gestapo. They arrested her. They put her in a concentration camp. And on Holy Saturday, 1945, the day before Easter, she volunteered to take the place of a condemned Jewish woman earmarked for the gas chamber. On Holy Saturday, 1945, she lost her life to poison gas. And those who killed her could not understand what she was doing. But she was following the example of her Lord. She was hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And even as her last breath was quenched by poison gas, even as she died in agony, she found a sense of satisfaction. People who looked at her entering that gas chamber saw the love of Christ. Our Lord's a very shrewd psychologist. He understands we're wired in such a way we are going to hunger and thirst for something. We may hunger and thirst for something that is superficial. We may hunger and thirst for something that is selfish. We may hunger and thirst for the real money. Or we may hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if we do that, it orders and governs our lives. The Eastern Orthodox Church named Mother Maria a saint because the people who experienced her amidst the destitution of Paris, amidst the destitution of the concentration camp, who witnessed her sacrifice on behalf of another, saw the love of Christ. When we gather at this table, we do so to acknowledge overtly that what Mother Maria did for that condemned Jew, Jesus did for us. We stood condemned. We stood alienated. We stood under a sentence of death. Christ volunteered to take our place in the gas chamber. Christ volunteered to take our place. In lieu of our execution, He offered Himself. And we gather around this table to eat this bread and to drink this cup, to express our gratitude, but it's more than that. We gather around this table to express the fact that Christ is not only our Savior, He is also our role model. We gather around this table to claim the fact we hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Christ. We seek to minister to those in destitution. We seek to minister to those in need. We seek to mirror the values of our Lord by hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of our Savior. We have been freed from death by the love and the sacrifice of our Christ. We have been freed by the love and sacrifice of our Christ for service and love. And when we gather around this table, we are declaring that it is only the bread, symbolic of our God's broken body, only the cup, symbolic of our Lord's spilt blood, that satisfies our deepest hunger and our deepest thirst. It is with that testimony we come to this table. Paul wrote to his friends, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, after supper, he poured the wine into the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I invite you this morning to partake of the Lord's table. I remind you, it's not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who would proclaim him as Savior and Lord, anyone who seeks his righteousness, who hungers and thirsts for his righteousness, you are invited to partake of our Lord's table.